Boys and girls, if I asked you who was in charge in your house, who was the one in charge, who would you say? Mom? You'd say, no, that's Dad. But even that answer ultimately would be wrong, because the Lord Jesus Christ is in charge of your house. Congregation, what if I asked you the question, who's in charge of the church? Some of you may mistakenly think, well, you, pastor. Because it's not the pastor that's in charge of the church. It's the elders who rule and guide the church. And really, ultimately, it's not even the elders. It's the Lord Jesus Christ who gives the gift of elders, who gives the gift of office bearers to rule his church. But what about the government? Who's in charge of the Canadian government? Maybe that one's easy. You think it's Prime Minister Trudeau. Well, maybe you'd stop and think, oh no, that's not right. It's the Canadian people that are in charge because they vote. But even ultimately, those answers would be wrong. Because whether it's your home, whether it's the church, or whether it's the government, the Lord Jesus is in charge. And that's really the heart of what we call the fifth commandment. The fifth commandment you can find in Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And we hope to begin tonight considering this fifth commandment. But it's bigger than making sure you honor and obey your mom and dad, though that is absolutely essential. And sadly, something disappearing in our day and age. No, it is something far deeper, far greater. And that is how the Heidelberg Catechism puts it in Lord's Day 39. Very simply, very shortly summarizing this commandment for us. In Lord's Day 39, we read together that the fifth commandment teaches that I show all honor, love, and fidelity or faithfulness to my father and mother, and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weakness and infirmity, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. The fifth commandment is all about obeying God's choice. Really submitting, we could say, to Christ's choice of who rules over us. We hope to consider that, submitting to Christ's choice in who governs us, and really how we should submit to them, what type of spirit or character or personality we should do it in. Well, firstly, as Psalm 2 told us, it is the Lord Jesus who is in charge of all things. We read in Psalm 2, verse 6, Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Everything. Everything is under the power and control of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it says in verse 11 of Psalm 2, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. So at home, firstly, when we think of who governs our home, it is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that how you think of it? All too often, we make too many silly jokes about this, about who's in charge. The Lord Jesus has seen fit, boys and girls, to put you in your family with your mother and father, with those in your family who are to govern you. And the scriptures say very particularly, you are to obey them. You are to obey them. Now, at times, your mother and your father don't understand, do they? Maybe you've had it where your mom or your dad sees you and your brothers and sisters fighting, and you shouldn't be fighting, and you know it. But you think, I didn't start it, it's not my fault. And your brother or your sister turns and lies and says, no, they started it. And you start fighting about your fighting in front of your mom or your dad. And what does mom and dad do? They have to settle this. They have to stop the fighting and they have to punish. They have to discipline you, correct you. And you think, but it's not fair. I didn't, they did. And maybe it's not fair. Maybe they didn't see. Maybe they don't understand. But that's all right. The Lord Jesus is in charge. And he will even use their sin for your good. So listen to the word of God when it calls you to honor them. Listen to the word of God when it calls you to obey in all things, as Ephesians and Colossians highlight. But fathers and mothers, this also raises a very good question for us. Are we governing our households, remembering Jesus is the one really in charge? And that starts with the mothers and the fathers. What is the relationship between husband and wife? Is that reflected in your marriage? Wives, do you submit to your husbands and honor them? Husbands, do you sacrifice everything out of love for the good of your wives? Is that what your marriage is about? And for those of you who are considering marriage, being engaged, or for those of you who are looking for relationships and thinking about finding a marriage partner, for you young ladies, fundamental question, do I trust this man? Can I submit to him? Can I do that? Should I strive to do that the way the church is to do so for Christ? And for you young men who are thinking about getting married, are you willing to give up everything for this woman? Your money, your time, your energy, your very life. Those are the type of thoughts you should go into and have as you're thinking about entering into a courtship or a dating relationship with a young man or a young woman. If you're not thinking about it that way, you're getting started off on the wrong foot. You have to keep that perspective. So there's no room for joking then. Not truly, not really. We like to tell little jokes sometimes, even in the most conservative of circles, about marriage. Yes, the man is the head, but the woman is the neck that turns him any way she wants. And though there might be a grain of truth in it, as we see the way mom tries to wisely appeal to dad, but it totally short-circuits the biblical picture. It dishonors Christ and his work in saving his church, and we ought not to do that. And for those of you who are husbands, the joke about the old ball and chain and how if you get married you lose your freedom, that is nonsense. Do you think your wife likes to hear that? What kind of witness does that set before our children? And plain and simply, it is not true. And it runs entirely contrary to the picture Christ gives us of what marriages are to be if our homes are to function well. The Lord Jesus does not look at his redeemed bride he gave his blood for as the ball and chain and a drag. She is the apple of his eye. His chosen possession, his great prize, his chief love and delight. He governs our home. And let us be very serious in our marriages, boys and girls, as you view your mom and dad, to keep in mind the home is all about our Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus doesn't only have authority over the home. Marriage is indeed about Christ and the church. But the Lord Jesus has even more authority than that. The Lord Jesus is the King of his church, the head of his church, the ruler of his church. He is our head. We are the body. We belong to Him, a diversity of gifts and abilities called to serve that He uses by His sovereign power and might, blessed by His Spirit, to bring in His kingdom. It's an amazing thing. We are even called His helpers. What a blessed thing that is. But is that how our church functions? Is that how our church functions? It is very tempting to have the church run away other than the New Testament describes. The Lord Jesus is the head. And as we've been able to consider in times past, the Lord Jesus gives office bearers. And Lord willing, we will see Him give us one in the weeks to come as we hope to have an election for elder. Something very important. It's not just a tradition. It's not just a custom. It's the Lord Jesus moving amongst us to govern His church. So we have to do away with the mistake that somehow the pastor is the boss. You could come to the consistory meeting and clearly see that is not the case. But we must also do away with the fact that the church is supposed to somehow be governed by the latest fads and pleasing the people and popular technique. The church is not governed that way. Every meeting, when we begin as consistory, we pray for the help of the Lord to be with us and that we would rule and seek to do what is right according to the Scriptures, according to the Word of God, that Christ would be among us and work through us. But we also have to do away with the mistaken notion that the church is somehow like some type of low-level democracy where I can come and go as I please and do what I want. And if it's not the way I want it, I can leave. As if somehow the church I'm connected to, whether it's my membership or the running of it, is all based on my personal choice. And if it's not the way I like it, I'll leave. Boys and girls, you didn't choose to be born in the family you were in. Many people didn't choose to be born in the country they were born into. And congregation, when we are born into a covenant family, we didn't choose to be baptized. We had the awesome privilege of it, to be a part of the church, the body of Christ, even if it is simply in an outward way. What an amazing privilege. And you ought not to leave her. Even though she is just one expression of the body of Christ in the local congregation, unless you have good reason, like it's against the Bible good reason, and you have prayed about it, and you have talked to your elders about it. It's very important we remember that. Because so much of the Scripture's rich teaching and example of the New Testament has been ignored, despised, or forgotten. But let me ask you by way of practical application then, and particularly in light of such upcoming big changes in our congregation's life, are you self-consciously and purposely beseeching the Lord Jesus as the head of the church to care for our congregation? We hope to have a congregational meeting Monday. Pray for the meeting to go well, even though it is a meeting for information and an opportunity for the consistory to get feedback and to take questions back for further consideration. But pray it would go well. We hope to have our meeting with the elders for those who hope to make confession of faith. Pray for these young people, that they would have clarity of mind and heart, that they in due time would be able to freely confess Christ. Two of them even hope to be baptized as adults. Such great blessings. The church faces so many challenges in the midst of this sinful world. The church faces so many challenges from our own sinful heart. It's one of the great stumbling blocks to the church, especially as you would read the pages of the New Testament. So many problems arise from within, let alone from all the troubles without. Pray for the peace of Zion. Pray for me as your pastor. Pray for the elders. Pray for the deacons. Pray for one another. Bear one another's burden, as we're told in the book of Galatians. Not just because we need it, but because Christ governs his church. And just like the home and just like the church, our Lord governs the state, the government. And perhaps that's the one that's hardest to see at times. In the scriptures, we have the beautiful picture of husband and wife representing Christ in the church. In the church itself, we find the beautiful language of the New Testament about Christ being the head and the redeemer of his bride, being his body. And all of what we are to do is to be focused on him and governed by his word. But the state, the government, and we think of all the complications that come with government and religion and which religion and how should they rule. You go back through the years of history and you see what happened in the Netherlands and in Scotland and in England. You see what's happened in America and what's happened in Canada. What happens when there are state churches and the church officially endorses certain particular denominations? It's all kinds of things that we have questions about. But the Word of God makes one thing principally clear, does it not? As the Lord Jesus said to the disciples as he arose into heaven, he says, all authority, all power, all right of rule in heaven and in earth belongs to me. It's all his. All his people, all their homes, all the church, and there is no reason to exclude the state. Psalm 2 so beautifully highlights that. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Rulers of the earth, the heads of state throughout the world, ignore God, take God's law and reject God's law, and enshrine their own thinking, their own good policies and practices, their own pride in its place. And we see the horrible deterioration of it all right before us. No, if every single man, woman, and boy and girl is to confess the name of Jesus Christ and every knee must bow before him, why all of a sudden would that stop when we start to talk about the government and the courts of law? The Lord himself in the book of Romans even tells us that the rulers are put in place by him. And Proverbs beautifully testifies to the fact that the Lord turns the heart of the king just as easily as the Lord turns the rivers of water. We must remember that. When we vote, we must remember we should be voting for people that will put policies in place, that will move us towards the principles of God's word. When we are tempted to despair, when we see perhaps even men that we voted for to put into office who promised to do things according to God's word but then did not, and we'd be tempted to despair. Or at times when it seems our governments will bring us into further and further immorality and sin, we'd be tempted to despair if it were not that the Lord is in control. We must submit to Christ's choice of governors in the home, in the church, and in the state, if we would keep this commandment rightly, to honor father and mother, as the Heidelberg Catechism summarizes it for us. But what does that look like? Seeing how Jesus is connected to our homes, to the church, and to the state, what does it look like when you rightly keep the fifth commandment, acknowledging the authority of the Lord Jesus in all these areas? Well, how do we then actually honor the fifth commandment? How do we honor those in authority over us? How do we honor the Lord Jesus in the fact he has put us in certain homes, in certain churches, and in a particular state or a country, being under the respective authority of Christ as it's respected by father and mother, the elders of the church, and the particular rulers of the particular party in that country. Well, we could say, as it were, in a right spirit or in a right way. And that right way, as we would survey the teaching of the Catechism and some parts of Scripture, looks like five things, just briefly for the sake of time. Honor, love, fidelity, teachability, and patience. We submit to Christ's choice of who is in charge over us when we do these five things rightly by the grace of God. First, we honor. We honor. We highly esteem and give of great value those the Lord has put in power above us. And already this is where we often fall flat on our faces. It's a great temptation as you get older and you start to hit your teen years and be a young adult that you start to dismiss your mom and dad's views on things. You start to question and challenge their authority. And though they may not understand, though they may be wrong, we break this commandment and offend the Lord Jesus Christ by not honoring them, highly esteeming them, and respecting them as we should. Not just putting on the right show, not just saying the right words, not just with going along with it because that's what they say, but having a heart that out of obedience to Christ puts a great weight on the views of father and mother. We honor. The same thing is true in the church. The book of Hebrews talks about the fact that people are to submit to those who have the rule over them, to have a high view of the elders, and to honor them in that calling because of the position God has given, not because they're popular men, not because they're gifted men, not because they're the men with the most time or the men with the most energy, but because God has called them. And as he says in the Word, because they watch for your souls. They care for your very lives and your standing before God. And we could look at the same example with the state. We should show respect and honor to our politicians. Not make jokes about them. Not make fun of them. Not belittle them. Not compare them to one another and take shots at them. Even if they are people who are immoral, even if there are people whose policies are wrong, we still must treat them with honor. You call sin, sin. You call bad policy. But you still honor them. You still esteem and respect them rightly. But not only honor, giving due weight to them for Jesus' sake, because of the position Jesus has put them in, but we are to love them. We are to love them. And that doesn't just mean have warm feelings to them. That doesn't mean like them. It means be committed to them self-sacrificially. Be committed to them self-sacrificially. What a blessing this is in our homes, isn't it? Fathers, we are to sacrifice everything for our wives, and we are to care and give all for our children. Mothers, wives, you are to submit to your husband all of your thoughts and your desires and honor him, though he may not indeed be worthy of it, for Jesus' sake. And you are to give and care for your children with all of your heart self-sacrificially for Jesus' sake. That means we do have to consistently discipline. That means we do have to make time for the Lord and speak about him as families in our daily life and in family worship. It means we have to stick together when things are hard. Children, it means you need to obey and honor them out of a sense of commitment to them, and especially to the Lord Jesus Christ, even when your parents are treating you in a way you may not like or you may not think is fair. We're to be committed together. We are to sacrifice for one another. The same thing is true of the church. We are one body congregation, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we dare not lose a finger. We dare not lose a hand. There are times when we sin against each other and be tempted to say, let's just cut that one off and be done with them. They cause too much trouble. Or we need to get rid of this one because it makes too many waves. No. We're all valued. We're all necessary. We're all part of one body, and we all must commit to one another, love one another, and sacrifice for one another. And that means we have to do things that are tough sometimes for each other. We have to confront one another in love, not just sweep stuff under the rug where it comes back bigger, meaner, nastier later. It means we have to confess sin to one another at times. We have to bear with one another in prayer and commit to one another. We need to spend time together. That is one of the blessings that many of the people are hoping will happen with something as simple as a new church building. Building won't all of a sudden make fellowship time automatic, but it may make it more possible. But the priority of being together so we can know one another and help one another, be committed together and sacrifice for one another in the cause of Christ. To love. And the same thing is true of the state, as odd as it may sound. Let us be truly Canadians if we are Canadians. Let us truly be whatever nation we may be a part of. Let us be rightly patriotic, seeking to help and to serve our fellow countrymen in the place God has planted us and called us to serve Him. Not in a vain, idolatrous way, but seeking to bring the cause of Christ to all. Not just in the home, not just in the church, but in the state and the government God has called us to be in. That we would pray for our leaders. That we would pray for our cities. That the will of God would truly be done. And that laws would be passed and rulers indeed would be turned to faith in Christ. There's nothing wrong with loving your country, as long as it's connected with loving the Lord Jesus Christ. But in addition to honor and love, there is fidelity. There is faithfulness. And as it were, flows out of love to be committed to one another, to hold fast to each other. That there is not just this sense of we belong together. There is not just this simple sense of commitment and sacrifice for one another, but that we hang together faithfully. Imagine a body, the example of the church the Lord gives. All one in the same nervous system. Blood circulating to every member and every part so they be united and held together to be faithful. Honor, love, fidelity, and teachability. Let us be teachable. Let us be open. Let us be honest. Let us submit to the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word together. Think of how this would transform all the different relationships we're in. If husbands and wives listen to one another, if parents and children truly listen to one another, our elders' meetings, our consistory meetings are such a blessing by the grace of God because we listen to each other and seek the Lord's will together. Imagine what would happen in politicians and in the functioning of the state if instead of parties or individuals rivaling for personal power to push agendas, they actually listened. They actually listened to the people. And would it be they actually listened to God? Scriptures highlight for us how we are to be teachable. Psalm 119 talks about loving the law. All of the scriptures speak about submitting to the rule and reign of Jesus Christ, that we be teachable. John Calvin, who doesn't speak much about his own personal conversion and his own spiritual life, described when the Lord put faith in his heart as God made him teachable to the things of God. Let us be teachable. Still have strong opinions, still have good arguments and discussion and powerful reasons for the views we have, but not be threatened if someone else disagrees. Not somehow feel that we must fight, because if you know what you believe and why, you have nothing to fear. But rather be teachable. Be teachable. And always go back to the Word of God together. It would be nothing better for our homes, nothing better for our church and for our government if we open the scriptures together and discussed about what God says, to be teachable, to honor, to love, to be faithful, to be teachable, and be patient. Be patient. Deal long with one another. How often, parents, don't you have to teach your children the same lessons? How often, husbands and wives, don't you have to forgive each other for the same cycles of sin? Congregation, how often don't we have to suffer long with each other and deal with one another? Be patient. Some in the congregation wants change right away because this is clearly good and right and would be so much better. And some other people know we must not change at any cost because we will lose this great teaching. Both people are seeking to honor Christ. Both types of emphasis that can sometimes come to the extremes. But let's be patient. Let's go to the Word of God together. Let's be teachable. Let's be faithful. Let's love one another, honor one another. So let us be patient together. Not be threatened, but be patient. Imagine what would happen in government if people were patient. Instead of having to ram things through by controversial votes, let's be patient. Let's come to consensus. To put it in one summary statement, what if we in our homes, in our church, and in our government said, let's wait on the Lord together. Let's look to His Word and see what the Lord will do as He will open our minds and hearts to His direction and leading. Those five things, honor, love, fidelity, teachability, and patience, certainly emphasize the right spirit we ought to have towards the Lord Jesus as He rules in the home, in the church, and the state. But congregation, this is only possible. This is only possible if we rightly recognize who our Lord Jesus is. The one who is enthroned over all. The one who calls everyone. It doesn't make a difference if you're a boy or a girl or a mom or a dad. It doesn't make a difference if you're an elder or a deacon or a simple believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't make a difference if you're a prime minister or a mayor or a city councilman. It doesn't make a difference. What must come first is an acknowledging, a surrendering, and a seeking to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. Have you done that? Have you surrendered to the King? When the Lord brings someone to repentance and faith, and they begin to understand their sin and their need for deliverance of sin, Christ becomes beautiful to them, necessary for them, and out of what He promises to do and works in the lives of sinners, they desire to honor Him. And it grieves them when they don't. have you bent the knee to the King of Kings? Not only found salvation in Jesus Christ, but as the Holy Spirit shows you your own sinfulness more and more, and the glories and power of Christ more and more, and the excellency of who He is and what He has accomplished more and more, do you, as it were, bow the knees of your heart more and more, not only deeply in awe of His great and amazing work, but in the breadth of it? Not only for your own personal salvation, but for how you will run your home and how you will live as a member or an office bearer of your church, and in how you will live as a citizen of Canada and the choices you make in the government and the policies you desire to see put in place. Bending the knee to the King of Kings is something the Spirit marvelously works, and something we, by the grace of God, if He has taught us those things continually to do, always more and more deeply and more broadly. Congregation, at root, that is the fifth commandment as our forefathers understood it. That I show all honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weakness and infirmity, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Let us freely submit to the choice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we confess that Thou doth know better than us in all things. So forgive us, Lord, for so often going our own way and going the way of the flesh and refusing to acknowledge Thy authority and power in every level of this world. Lord Jesus, we thank Thee that Thou doth rule and Thou doth rule all. And we pray, Lord, Thou would teach sinners for the first time or afresh to honor that great rule. And in so doing, Lord, let us know Thy blessing and care. We pray these things in Jesus' name alone. Amen.